They have summer and winter seasons with winters at minus 10 degrees Celsius and a summer climate at around 110 degrees Fahrenheit. The contact was extended to 3 long days between the Leveners and the Chtons. Before the Leveners took the Chtons to their home planet, they insisted upon complete information about their guests. It so turned out that the Levener beings were quite gallant and very eloquent conversationalists. On the third day, the Levanian shuttle left orbit and returned to Uran, and landed on their one cosmodrome of their planet to prepare for the guests' visit. On the fourth day, the Leveners sent a transport ship. After this ship had arrived and connected with the Chtan ship, they were again surprised to see that it was much like their own craft in many ways. As agreed between them, the Chtan commander and 3 crew members entered the first transport ship of the Levener. When they entered the atmosphere of the planetron, they were surprised by a strange flight apparatus that united with the ship. After that, it connected with the Uran ship, and in a few minutes they entered and landed on a long landing runway. A fantastic picture of amazing architecture presented itself. A highly technical and much civilized society was exemplified by the magnificent building and structures, all in such harmony with nature and their surroundings. These strangers had created a gigantic garden on their planet. Preparations were begun to house approximately 1,000 Chtons who had mostly scientifically oriented duties, and this lasted for nearly a year. Between these two incredibly different intelligent species developed a very high degree of scientific and technical cooperation. They combined their research and great co-development began. A very active travel between the planetron and the Chtonian mothership developed. And with great interest the Levanian scientists researched and investigated the Chtonian mothership. The Levanian biologists were fascinated, and their interests were mostly in the plantations and fields and gardens on the Chtonian craft. Other specialists wanted to have the Chtons demonstrate to them their techniques for transplanting plants and seeds and for successful propagation of choice plants to acquire them for development on Uran. In return, the Levanians offered the Chtonians material for their fusion technology, and to also help them to build their very highly effective defense weapons systems. Beyond that, they explored new ways in gene technology research so that the Chtonians would be able, because of the Levanians' advanced research along this line, to develop and explore new ways to manipulate all living beings and to even create new ones. 82 The Chtonians accepted the offer, and there then developed a very active exchange of goods and technology. In the length of a few Uran months, slowly an armada of transport ships grew and even opened new stellar routes of commerce and trade. On the Uran planet, the Levanians created great spheres of new activity with new plants, the plants of the Chtonians. Gratefully they practiced the new technologies of transferring and growing plants and plant stocks. Only after these strange Uranian beings could see the sprouting of the new seeds in their fields and saw them grow, and when they were satisfied with the result, did the Levanian scientists deliver on their promises, and the Levanians entered the Chtonian mothership. They asked their hosts to be allowed to test their A weapons on the first planetula of their own Sunday. This planet had already been used for such weapons testing and experimentation before. But the Chtonian commander at first refused such use of these weapons. Only after they had investigated the reasons for such request did he give assent. The Chtan mothership fired a ray rocket at the firing range target. After that, the Levanians fired their defense weapon toward the same target. After a few hours, the Chtan rocket reached its target. On the viewing screen, one could see it hit its target and explode. A few nanoseconds later, the Levanian rocket reached its target and detonated. Again, a few nanoseconds after that, the Levanian defense weapon was seen to produce a more superior result. A little time later, the Levanian guests introduced an even more mighty weapon to the Chtons. During the demonstration, the bound energy ray created the effect of melting a rock to liquid. It began to boil like a volcano. The energy that they were able to extract from the lava lake was the energy needed for this result. The Chtonians looked on in amazement at such powerful results. After they finished the demonstration of their weapons, they gave the Chtonians the construction plans for the scientific design of their weapons system. Now both sides allowed the other to explore what they had collected in scientific research and exploration. But the greatest amount of their scientific exchange was in the area of gene technology. In this technology, the Lavanian scientists expressed themselves as creating gods so exquisitely. There was practically no living thing that they could not create. Thankfully, and in great appreciation, the Chnian gene scientists gave to the Lavanians, in return, their entire collected scientific knowledge on microelectronics, inclusive of the science of transference. After the Chnians had been nearly 10 years living on the planetron and exchanging technology, and after they had renewed their own technologies, all inclusively, they decided to continue on their original exploration route. They were still in search of new worlds. The Lananians became aware of the worries of the Chnians. 83 They advised them about a sun system that they called Araula, where a few planets orbited. They knew that at least two of those planets would be hospitable for life and had suitable living conditions. The ancestors of the Lavanian beings had known of this sun system and they provided the needed flight coordinates. If the Chnians wanted to reach this sun Araula, they would have to go into a spiral arm of the Our Galaxy there. If they were flying at 800 times light speed or more, they would be able to reach Araula in about 113 light years. If they could exceed this, they could shorten the time some. The Milky Way, according to the Lavanians, has a diameter of about 130,000 light years. We lie near the end of our spiral arm. Aran, according to the Lavanians, lies in the direction of the center of the galaxy from us. Chapter 19, On the Way Toward Earth. The computer then explained to me how the Chnian beings came to our solar system. With great pleasure the Chnians received this information. They collected all this data in their central computer system. After the 10th Aran year according to their calculations, they left their orbit around the Aran sun Aglier, and risked the dangerous route to this new world. After 2 years flight they reached the coordinates of this flight to this new world. Before they could engage their new pre-programmed route, an unexpected difference of opinion broke out and into a struggle for dominance, and a few deaths resulted. One faction wanted to return to Aglia and another wanted to continue on to the new world. Luckily the struggle was ended quickly and again harmony and peace reigned, and the new coordinates remained in the central computer. For 2 flight years long they followed the new route. There was nothing to complain about, because the entire collected technology that was worked out actually functioned just right. One day they discovered a colossal stone in their flight path that weighed several hundred tons. It was dangerously near. They gave the central computer instructions to use one of their new defense weapons and destroy this stone. Within a few seconds the defense weapons that they received from the Lavanians caused its destruction. The very dangerous threat was turned into a harmless gigantic fog. 7 flight days after this action, the electronic control for the life support systems sounded an alarm. The meters registered a shortage of energy supply, and it immediately switched into the emergency program in the computer. The Chnians were very frightened. They worked through several analyzes and they noticed some heat damage in their energy block. They undertook immediate repairs. And because of that they had to wait a few days on their sojourn before they could use heightened energy supplies again. Luckily only a few parts had become overheated and burnt through, and soon those were repaired or replaced and there was no more trouble. Their entire energy system worked flawlessly again. But grief was still in their hearts, because during their repair work a few Chnian engineers died. It was a painful loss. But this was also the first use of a neurobotic technician that could take over very risky and dangerous activities. They wanted to enter the computer center where the energy was very dangerous, and humans could not stay in this energy center very long. It was not an easy job because this machine had to think, act, run, and send and receive communications. As much as the Chnians 85 accomplished and did so it could enable them to make decisions with less risk. At first the Chnian scientists built a microelectric device that could receive and store information from the living brain of a technical specialist, and could copy it into the robot. They succeeded in collecting the complete information in the shortest time, but seeing, feeling, acting, computing, and transmitting and receiving and running this robot could not all be done as desired. They built a very complex machine, according to their view, and the complex collector of this machine was the soul. As the first energy animated this machine as they desired, they were still not satisfied, but within a few hours this technical wonder was able to learn as much as a Chtnian in his whole lifetime. And in the important and dangerous areas the robot was able to act with satisfaction. Gradually they added a few more features that would improve the robot. Only the fourth generation of this production which took so long fulfilled their highest expectations. The robots were able to enter the most important and the most dangerous areas and result in not a single Chtnian having to die in such operations. The regular activities of these highly charged robot machines required a high amount of energy. Each year, year by year, they built newer and bigger and better versions of the robots, almost to the highest perfection. One flight day small meteorites damaged and broke the glass-like walls of the plantation. This caused quite a disturbance in the constant supply of food, and it affected many Chtnians who then suffered from undernourishment, malnutrition and thirst, and they experienced diseases that they had not known before as a result. Quickly the robots were put to work and they repaired the damaged areas of the plantation walls and were able to restore the environment for the fields and plantations again. 15 flight months later they had harvested enough food supplies for their needs. After they had used the robots the technicians rechecked their technical condition. The scientists were surprised to discover that the thinking and action performance of the robots had improved, and was better now than they had previously calculated. So the Chtnians had created a very valuable technical help that could recognize, on their own, damages and repair them. They could rely completely on the robot beings as they lovingly called them, because they gave the ship a new daily technical security. The medical doctors on the ship were very worried about what the hunger had caused. The new diseases resulted from the hunger and malnutrition. All the crew members that were affected by the diseases were detained. Even though they had excellent scientifically oriented doctors, none of them were able to discover the origin of this new sickness. 86 At the beginning and onset of this mysterious malady, the victim experienced many days of high fever that changed into heavy sweating and dehydration. Then after that lethargy would enter and the patient would develop apathy. Once the patient had survived this malady for 6 to 9 flight weeks, their skin often wrinkled up and became painful. Almost 80% of the crew members were plagued by this new disease but they did not have one single fatality. After repeated research and testing, the results they discovered brought an awareness that the Chtnians who had not eaten this little reddish-blue plant from Marin had not been affected. When they further researched in their plantations, this reddish-blue food vegetable plant that they had received from the Lavanians, they discovered that they were cumulatively inedible for them. They had no clue that their hundreds of times light-speed velocity was affecting this plant, and that this plant had become destructive as a result. For this reason the gardens of these plants were destroyed and only a scientific specimen was preserved in the archives for its historical value. All of the sickened members were given for a few days, a soup made out of a root called Kochbald root. It had originated on their home planet Chtn and grew there on high plateaus in the higher elevation areas. So far, this Kochbald root, when pulverized, was considered a potent life elixir, but they have so far not been able to eat it raw. Because the pulverized version showed a great amount of healing when taken in small amounts, they thereafter fed the sick patients a certain measured amount of this Kochbald root in pulverized form. Finally they succeeded in improving their health, and after a few days the disease was under control. Now they discovered that after about the fourth month of treatment in prolonged use of the Kochbald root, when they had applied it in the raw form, many pregnant women lost their babies or gave birth prematurely after 7 months. Despite excellent medical attention, not one pre-birth survived. It seemed as if the crew members would die out before they reached their goal if this continued. Worriedly, the Chtnian doctors searched for the origin of this particular root problem. The solution came to light in a simple fashion. All women that were pregnant who ate only a few grams daily of this healing root, Kochbald, gradually became normal in their birth process. Doctors and geneticists continued their research a few more months, as many more unsuccessful births continued until they finally realized that the miscarriages led back to the use of this Kochbald root. And its use was restricted. Flight hour by flight hour the Chtons neared their goal. At accelerated speeds for 110 flight years the mighty gigantic spacecraft continued. And it finally approached the outskirts of the Aurora Sun system. Exactly as their Lavanian friends had stated, a mighty sun radiated in the midst of its sun system. Endless energy was radiated into the universe from this sun system called Aurora. 87 To reach their goal they needed only a few more days of flight time and they began to slow their marvelous mothership down. Before they decided to land on any planet here they sent their robot beings out to explore the third, fourth and fifth inner planets of their new sun Aurora. After a few months the robot beings returned with the results of their survey. The Chtonians took the measure of our sun system. About the actions and involvement in our sun system the computer gave me much data. For example, after they searched and examined the results from the robot survey, they discovered that the fifth inner planet resembled their ancient original home planet very much. Full of joy, they called this new planet Chtun after their own original home planet. Gently they guided their huge spaceship into orbit around this new home planet. But unexpectedly their ship's power unit weakened and they parked the big craft in orbit around their new home planet. To investigate the damage they sent a few of their robot beings into the reactor complex of the mothership. From there they signaled the crew their existing ambient radiation and damage to the interior part of the reactor, and that any emergency repair was out of question. The computer ended this presentation and gradually the picture and all the accompanying data faded from view. Then the fascinating endless universe appeared again on the viewing screen and Reus, said the hairy Pallian being, if we figure from our time calculations, the Chtun spacecraft was flying for around 950,000 years in its orbit around the new Chtun planet. There it stayed for many more years, until one day it was no longer required. I sat like a statue in my chair. Unbelieving, I stared at the Pallian being. It was difficult for me to believe what I had just seen. What was shown was a voyage fraught with risk and incredible dangers. On this ship was a constant struggle for survival. The struggle to survive and the search for a new home abused my poor brain and I developed a strong headache. Dagilo calmed the headache through her telepathic abilities. She handed me a glass of water and said, "Drink, it will refresh you." I did and after a while my headache disappeared and I felt a little better. How do you feel now? Dagilo wanted to know. You already know, I said. Chapter 20. The Chtonians in their new sun system. All right, said Dagilo, we shall continue, because our time is running short, and so we shall go right on with this theme. Dagilo motioned toward the Pallian being to continue with the presentation. He looked at me, laid his hand on my chest, and nodded to me. Only after I responded with a similar gesture and laid my hand on his chest, he allowed the computer to then continue with the explanations very carefully. The Chtonians prepared for their debarkation onto the new planet. They searched out a valley where there would be wide shallow rivers crossing it, and this would be where they would build their first city. Already the landings in the valley fascinated them incredibly. It was beautifully untouched and unspoiled, and was covered with flowers. It looked like an entire copy of their old home planet. It had wonderful wide green valleys, wide forests, rivers and lakes, and wonderful mountains in the distance. It had endless variations in animals that populated the beautiful valley where they first landed. 10 years passed until all the beings aboard the mothership had landed and settled on the surface of this new planet, and until they had re-established all their machinery and devices, and all the technical instruments from the spaceship down into the valley. After 40 years there was no more use for the old and abused mothership. The systems of the old relic were used for a last and final trip with no return. A little later the glowing mothership disappeared from view forever. From their first city they took into their possession gradually, that which they had been longing for so much time. In order to use their highly modern instruments, devices and machinery, that were built according to the plans of their old home world, they had created pulsating with life cities raised out of the ground. Industry, agriculture, development, etc., adjusted to the growth of their villages and housing. Gradually their interest in space flight disappeared for the Chtnians. The once very desirous fast support craft for the mothership were no longer used. They were hopelessly deteriorating. The old landing port was converted into a nature park. Now and then one spoke of times past, but even those memories were fast fading. The succeeding generations would only read about experiences on the space flight, but they could no longer imagine the hardships experienced. Nearly 700 years long they lived in contentment and free of worry. The nation of space-traveling beings was lapsing more and more into forgetfulness. 89 Only a few people, mostly scientists, tended to the memories of the once-past expanded space flights. After more time, even those could no longer find the archives. The ancestors of the Chtans had once maintained good records of the migratory and interplanetary space flights, but even those had become lost over time and become legend. One day, an excavation in the nature park struck an elaborately secure bunker system, which turned out to be the lost archives about space flight and technology. For subsequent generations, all these records were copied into a microelectronic storage system. The finders were absolutely excited. They had found what had been looked for so much time, so long. For many weeks they reported and told each other about the discovery of this precious information. Yet, though they were not able to fully decipher this information, only a little time passed before the specialists in data research were able to decipher and fully interpret the old records. From here on a new era began. A time when one had remembered space flight again and a whole history began evolving around the old records of space flight. Every child, every old person, had begun to realize what had happened long ago. From that developed a strong desire to enter the cosmos again and fly. Within only 50 years they were able to remaster the old technologies and techniques, those used by their ancestors. There appeared a gigantic cosmodrome facility. From there every day a small transport ship would rise up into the heavens to test the newest developing technologies and devices. It was not long before they were building mighty spaceships again. They lovingly called the first of them Centro. It was the beginning point for many successful continuous missions into space once more. Powerful team wishes matured and were fulfilled. Now they wanted to richly explore those flights into space. But for those ambitions the necessary raw materials were very limited on the Chtnian planet. Feverishly they searched for materials, and they found some on the four moons that orbited the planet Chtan. They found metals in their highest purity there. Mighty layers of crystallized sands with a high degree of purity as well as many other important raw materials were found. The smallest moon contained a special iron in a trimetal deposit having high amounts of platinum, silver, and aluminium as well as lesser amounts of gold, molybdenum, magnesium, etc. The Chtnians called this trimetal chiridine, mixtures that they did not have at all on Chtan. The result of the matrixed product was that they had the actual quality metal that was needed to create the new spaceship. It was very hard and had a high resistance to cold and heat and acids. This matrixed material enabled them to build the outside skin of the fastest spaceships. They immediately began to process all this industrially. Incidentally, this was the only moon capable of supporting such efforts. Chapter 21, The Chtnian Reconnaissance of Earth. Degolo touched the keyboard on the computer in her study and immediately the viewing screen showed a picture of the big incredibly wide universe. From the computer I found out that the Chtnians, former inhabitants of the fifth planet out from our sun, now orbiting as asteroids, started an expedition and searched the third planet out, our Earth, because this planet, a planet of hope, was almost identical to their home planet, which they called Chtan. The closer they came, the more the beauty revealed itself. It seemed as if they were approaching a beautifully colored glass marble where now and then a milky veil would float about it as if hiding its secrets. With a small research laboratory, they landed on an almost oval plateau. It was the only elevation in a far and wide valley. On the horizon they saw high mountains. They found themselves in the crater of a dead volcano. They found out that by rain and wind it had branched out and been watered for thousands of years. They slowly worked upon the ground, and they cautiously tested the mixtures of the earth. Even though this planet, where the research group had landed, resembled their planet Chiton, it was almost like a twin. It had less oxygen around. There was no great danger for them, and they used only now and then their breathing equipment. Their main activity was to research and search the near surroundings, and they used their mobile walking robots for that. When they examined its nature, the research group found over and over again great similarities in flora and fauna with their home planet Chiton. 1 year later, after intensive preparation, they built the first space station, which served as their entry and exit point for further continued stations. This installation also served as their operations base for continued activities. All in all, 21 research foundations were created, stretching out over the entire planet, the Planet of Hope as they called the Earth. 9 of these stations again developed themselves into large cities. And at the height of the blossoming of their culture, they counted 2,900,000 Chitonians, and that many lived in those cities. Countless expeditions entered deeply into the still untouched virgin nature, and they came back over and over with new knowledge and new results of their research. They came back to their foundation points. One of their many expedition groups became missing and was believed lost. After about 4.5 years, this missing research group reappeared again unexpectedly, and they entered into the research institute. The 91 sensational results of their research. That kind of research would change at once the entire research activity here. In an area that was rich in water, that was 1,000 kilometers from this support point, from the foundation base, the returned research group had run into a few tribes of intelligent, upright, walking, dark-skinned creatures. They used tools, and they even had already mastered the use of fire. But these beings had only a weak spun dress made out of hair that could not protect them from the cold. They created for themselves such dress. Most of the time, one tribe lived in very well-built huts where one could find in the center an open place for fire. They were already leading a very well-organized life that had great meaning for the survival of the entire tribe. The research group also encountered beings who were similar to the first group, but were mightier and stronger in their body build, who moved themselves in a more bent than upright posture. For them, clothing was unnecessary because they had a thick hair-like fur that protected them from the cold. These beings were equally collectors and hunters. Their hunting methods differed much from the upright walking beings. These second beings did not have as much success, because they had less well-built weapons and tools for hunting. That was why at times this tribe was struck by terrible hunger, and they were not as fertile because this impaired their reproductive ability. They lived mostly in caves where they had learned to produce fire to warm themselves additionally. Even though they resembled their neighbors, the smaller race, quite a lot, they had quite different characteristics. They were unable at times to maintain what they had earned and to develop it further. For a long time, the Chitonians devoted research to where and why such crass differences were discovered between those two different races. After intense research and comparisons, they came to a conclusion that this was a case of two very opposing, very different evolutionary lines of development. The upright walking smaller beings were capable of gathering new knowledge while hunting and in daily life, and could translate it into their living, were highly intelligent and unmistakably carried hominid genes in them. It was again a time when the viewing screen and the loudspeaker drummed this information into my very stressed brain, that I actually had a headache again. But Grotek freed me of this strange headache. Intuitively I got it that Grotek possessed telepathic ability like Diglo. That he was in a position to use this power massively astonished me, because so far as I knew, only Diglo could do this. But Krutk as well goes through my brain, went through my head, like to glow. Why are you surprised? Why does this surprise you, Andreas? He said. 92 I thought it was really only Deglo who was capable of telepathically going through my head. Yes, she is more capable because she masters it much more easily, to enter the thought process. He continued. I live with Deglo. We sometimes train together, to develop our parapsychological abilities,